السلام علیکم ورحمت اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمدللہ وکفا والصلاة والسلام علی سیدن المصطفی صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. اما بعد، فقد قال اللہ تبارک وتعالی: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. وقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. وقد قال الله تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله، ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers, also our sisters at the madrasa, and now we also have to say those who are receiving us over the receivers. We all are familiar with the virtues of the night of Barat. It is more or less a repetition every year of the same lesson. Therefore, tonight we will discuss very, very briefly again what lessons we should take from Laylatul Barat. The night of the 15th of Shaban, there are many hadiths of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam extolling the virtues of this Mubarak night. But as you heard over the years, that one of the most important lessons of this night is that it is a night for the forgiveness of sins. It is a night in which Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that masoom, sinless prophet of Allah Ta'ala, who was the closest to Allah Ta'ala, who after Allah is the greatest, but he too engaged himself in ibadat for practically the whole night. Now that Nabi of Allah, who has said, "Ma bayna bayti wa mimbari rawzatum min riyadil jannah," that between my home and my mimbar is a garden from the gardens of paradise. In other words, he was already there in paradise. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not have to look for another paradise. As far as Jannat is concerned, there was no question of Jannat if it had not been for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The entry of every believer into Jannat will be because of the shafaat and intercession of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, there was no question of him being disobedient to Allah Ta'ala even for a single second. Every moment of his life, it was obedience to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. There was nobody more full of barakat and blessings than Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was nobody who had more mu'jizats and miracles than Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet that Rasul of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he engages himself in ibadat, in zikr, in tilawat, in long, long sajdas, in going to the qabristan and making dua. For what? To give a lesson to us, that we who are immersed in sins, we who are drowning in the oceans of sins. In fact, sometimes it is very, very shocking when a person says, "And Maulana, I don't know what sin I am committing that I am suffering this and suffering that." I don't say that all suffering is because of sins. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through the most amount of suffering. The Sahaba-e-Kiram Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in, they went through a lot of suffering. But that was not because of their sins. There was no sin there. It was an elevation of their status and their rank and their position. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was testing them for their iman. It is just like now in Afghanistan what is happening, that it is a test for those believers, the true believers. A statement of Mullah Umar, the Amirul Mu'mineen, that when all these people went to negotiate, and when they told him, hand over Osama bin Laden, otherwise they are going to attack you and they are going to destroy your country. So he said, well, they must bring proof. If they don't have proof, how can I hand him over? It's injustice. He said, but then they have got a mighty force. So what were his words? It's a lesson for all of us. One great alim of Pakistan, he says that I couldn't forget, those words were ringing in my ears right from Afghanistan up to Karachi. And what were those words? Those words were that maine musabbibul asbab ko bahut qareeb se dekha hai. I have seen the creator of means very, very closely. In other words, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. I have seen how he created the means, how we gained victory against the Russians and all the rest of it. And then he said, main America ko khudae sani manne ke liye tayyar nahi. I am not prepared to accept America as the second God or the second Lord or my second Allah. What is this? That's the quwwat of iman. And we can see that after 21 days still how solid they are. So these are trials, these are tests. And in that test, some people will lose their lives, some people will be injured, some people will be martyred. Now all these things will happen. So that is not because of sins. But people like ourselves, people like us, we should not put ourselves into their shoes and say, which sin we are committing? I don't know, what is it that Allah Ta'ala is sending down these type of trials upon me? Now the person who was telling me this, he was clean shaven, his pants was flowing beneath his ankles, and there was no sign of Islam, and yet he says, I'm making my 5-time namaz. Well, I don't know what sin I am committing. So we have to be very careful when we make these type of statements. We should think that we are the greatest sinners on the surface of this earth, and it will not decrease our position in any way. It will in fact give us elevation. It will give us respect. We are not humiliating ourselves if we have to admit this in front of our Allah, that we are very sinful servants of His. So this is a night for forgiveness. When a relative of ours, a friend of ours, if a person is a murid of some sheikh and his sheikh is annoyed with him, or the brother is angry with the brother, or the parents are angry with the children, or the children are angry with the parents, that sometimes years and years go by, neither are the parents willing to forgive the children, nor are the children prepared to forgive the parents, nor are the brothers willing to forgive the brothers. It goes on for years and years, and they say, I'm not going to ever forgive him. And here, O Allah, whom we have displeased day and night, we violate all his ahkam, we trample upon the sharia, day and night we do those things which are displeasing to him and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this Mubarak night, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself says, Allah hal min mustaghfirin faghfir Allah. Is there anyone seeking forgiveness so that I may forgive him? He is announcing. I'm not going to the details of Shab-e Barat, you are well aware of it. I just want to give you the gist of it. That he is announcing, is there anyone seeking forgiveness that I may forgive him? In other words, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is saying, my doors are open. Oh my servants, where are you? Oh my slaves, the master is calling you. And he's a master who is very merciful, very forgiving, very kind. No matter how far you may have gone, but I am announcing that, is there anyone seeking forgiveness that I may forgive him? Allah Ta'ala himself is saying, is there anyone seeking forgiveness? Which means that he wants to forgive. This announcement itself is a sign that Allah Ta'ala wants to forgive. If a father has to tell the son, that is there anything you want, ask. I've got a big bank balance. So what does that mean? That I've got the money, ask, how much do you want? Here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is saying, is there anyone seeking forgiveness so that I may forgive him? Is there anyone who is in difficulties, in problems, so that I may remove his difficulties and problems? Is there anyone sick and ailing and seeking cure so that I may cure him? Now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is going on announcing, is there anybody needing this, needing that, so that I may solve his problems? So then we may say that, but we have tried that many times. We were sick and ailing and we asked for cure, but we didn't get cure. We were poverty stricken, we didn't have enough food, but and we made a lot of dua, but we didn't get food. So then we must also understand that what that dua means. That Allah Ta'ala accepts that dua. Then in His wisdom, if that sickness is good for that person, He will keep him sick, but He will bless him with something far better than cure from that ailment. The person was poor, He will keep him poor, but He will give him some other ni'mat, which only if this person ponders and reflects and thinks, then that will be far better than that which he would have got in the form of wealth. So that is Allah Ta'ala's wisdom. But He is announcing, is there anyone, is there anyone? So this night was firstly, of course, for seeking forgiveness of sins. Another thing that we learned is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he left his home to go to Jannatul Baqi, from this it is proven that if a person goes without considering as farz and compulsory and cursing others that don't go or criticizing them if they don't have to go, if he goes because it is mustahab or sunnat, whatever you take it, to the Qabristan, then it is good, it is rewarding. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in this Mubarak night of Barat, he went to the Qabristan. And there he raised his hands and he made dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for those who were in Jannatul Baqi, in Baqiya Gharqat. And yet we know that those who are buried in Jannatul Baqi, in the graveyard of Madina Tayyiba, they are blessed, they are forgiven. It is a great ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They will get the shafa'at of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the day of Qiyamah, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam will rise. After that will be Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Then will be Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. How fortunate these two companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam are, whom the Shias curse and send lanat upon, na'uzu billahi min zalik. Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will have his hand, one on the shoulder of Hazrat Abu Bakr, one on the shoulder of Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And then they will go until the people of Jannatul Baqi will rise. 70,000 of them will be forgiven and they will be guaranteed entry into Jannat without any reckoning. That Jannatul Baqi, according to the kitabs, 10,000 Sahaba-e-Kiram Ridwanullah alayhim ajmain lie buried. That graveyard of Madina Tayyiba, where besides Hazrat Maimuna and Hazrat Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha, all the wives of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are buried there. The daughters of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, Hazrat Ruqayya, Hazrat Umm Kulsum, Hazrat Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Zainab, they all are buried there. The uncles of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, six of them, Hazrat Usman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and how many awliya-e-kiram, how many sahabas, now they will rise from there. So now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, imagine he is going himself and making dua at the Qabristan to teach us a lesson that we should also visit the Qabristan. It will remind us of our death. But that is if we take a lesson from those qabrs that are there. But if we go there with our hearts filled with the love of dunya, then even at the Qabristan we will think of nothing but our dunya. The person is standing in the Qabristan, the burial is taking place, there may be a little delay for some reason or the other, or whilst they are burying, there's going to be a little bit of time that is taken up. At that time, what do we engage ourselves in? All worldly conversations. Our business actions and business deals don't even end even at the Qabristan. Yet that Qabristan is giving a lesson to us. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam goes there and he makes dua for the people in the Qabristan. So on this night, that is one of the actions that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam engaged in. But in our times, we have to look at the conditions also. It must not be that it is a Qabristan which is in an area where it is risky, where the life of the person is at risk. Otherwise, he himself will become another candidate for that graveyard. So if the person goes also, he must make sure that the place is well lit up. And if things are a bit scary and it is risky, then read from your home and send sawab to those that are buried. Then go during the day. We don't have to do things which are not reasonable and after that blame Sharia for it. Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say anywhere that it is compulsory, that no matter how dark and how scary and how frightening and how risky, but you must go there. So there is another thing, that to remember our own death. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself practiced on this, so that we take a lesson from him, that here is a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who is masoom and sinless, but he is going there and making dua for them there. Then Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, which you heard before also, that qama an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ruwaidan wa ta'ala ruwaidan wa fataha al-baba ruwaidan wa aghlaqa al-baba ruwaida. When he got up to go, how did he go? He got up very, very gently, very, very softly, quietly. He didn't make a big noise and a big din. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam put on his shoes also very softly. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam opened the door gently. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam shut the door also very gently. Teaching as a lesson that this is akhlaq of Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is his beloved wife, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she would have never complained of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam making a bit of a noise, na'uzubillah. She loved him dearly, but he did not want to disturb her sleep. Now, this was the akhlaq of Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this is where we learn so many masail from. Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have said, Al-Imanu bid'un wa sab'una shawbatan. Afzaluha qawlu la ilaha illallah wa adnaha imatatul aza'ani tariq. Wal-haya'u shawbatun minal iman. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says the gist of this hadith is that iman has 70 branches. The highest branch is la ilaha illallah. And the closest is that branch which we term as imatatul aza'ani tariq. That if there is anything in the path of a, or in the roadway, which is going to cause any kind of injury to a person, then to remove that obstacle, that is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, is a branch of iman. That means to remove something that will cause problem for someone is a sign of iman, it's a branch of iman. So what about those who create the problem for others? After eating the bananas in the last program, which was distributed here, how many of them just threw the banana peels all over the shore? Not concerned that somebody could slip and fall and break his leg. So to create problem for someone else, then where is the iman? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it's a branch of iman. And not only banana peels or something of that nature, anything that would create an obstacle for the person. It will make life difficult for the person. Without justification, you are putting boulders there, or you are creating obstacles, or you are throwing such kind of things on the ground. Bottle tops and glasses and so many other things which will create obstacle. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, you must fulfill the rights of the road if you are sitting there too. He said, what is the right of the roadway if you are sitting there? That if a person is passing by, you make him salam. And if there is anything that is creating obstruction, then you remove it. In other words, you should not create obstructions for others. Therefore, I repeatedly say that we have lost all sense of akhlaq. We know a lot about namaz, we know a lot about roza and about zakat. But when it comes to our dealings with people, our relationship with family members, with friends, with neighbors, then there we find ourselves extremely weak. We have got absolutely no control over our temperament, our anger. There is no discipline left in our lives. I'm talking about myself, so don't feel offended. That we just can't control our tempers anymore. And as far as creating obstruction and problems, then we will be sitting in the masjid and reading wazifas, and we will be reading Quran Sharif, and we will be making dua. And in the meantime, our car is parked right in the front at the exit. Namaz is over, people have finished their sunnats and they are already leaving. And we are engaged in dua and zikr and tilawat and ibadat, and we are obstructing the whole musallis for those that want to go. Of course, if there is a program of this nature, now if somebody goes and puts his car in the center there and then says that I'm obstructed, so then that is his fault. I'm talking about the normal namazes when there is no program after that. Or when it comes to our nikahs. How many times I have mentioned that this embracing business, now if somebody has to say that, we think that person is talking nonsense. This embracing business, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would have done that. If it was a great act of ibadat to embrace each other after nikah, then he would have done that. The sahabas would have done that. But he had a far sight. He knew that a time will come when there will be 1 million people, 2 million people, 3 million in the Haram Sharif. Now if one nikah takes place there and everybody has to start embracing the dulha there, then from tahajjud time if we start, we'll finish up next day tahajjud time. Imagine if you have to embrace each and every one. The same with even musafaha. So therefore, conveniently, on your way out, if you meet the person, well and good. Otherwise, you were at the nikah, alhamdulillah, you participated, you got the sawab. But now, if you want to meet the groom, then first make sure that your car is not obstructing those people that are wanting to leave. Even nafil salat sometimes must be curtailed. These are things. Akhlaq is very important. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he is teaching us that how considerate he was. And what is the situation today? Late night, our youngsters come. Boom, bang, full blast. They knock the door. The poor old parents, they don't know what to do. They phone and they complain, Mawla, please, what dua can I read? What wazifa can I read? My son comes 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning. Disturbs my sleep, and then demands food. Now all these are the things that require rectification. This is what this night is all about. To make sincere tawbah from such kind of sins if we committed in the past. And make a pledge that we are not going to return to it. There are so many things. If we just have to talk on muasharat, then that is why Hazrat Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, agar ghaus banna ho to kahin aur jao, agar kutub banna ho to kahin aur jao, agar insan banna ho to mere paas aao. To be a human being, that is the important thing. And to have knowledge, plenty of knowledge there is now. One person went to his shaykh, to his buzruk wali, but when that shaykh and buzruk saw his character, he said, this person, he told him, he said, you don't have any character. So he went away and he wrote one big kitab on character, akhlaq, and he sent it to show that he has the knowledge of what is good character. So after looking at the kitab, the shaykh replied, I didn't say that you don't know what is good character. I said you don't have good character. That's all. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he goes in this manner very, very gently, quietly, and he goes to the graveyard and he makes dua for them. Of course, there are other hadiths. I'm just giving you the important points from there, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha observed what he had done, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam informed her that why. He said it was a night in which Allah ta'ala forgives more people than the hay on the cattle, sheep of Bani Kalb tribe. It was a tribe which had the greatest amount of cattle, sheep, etc. So Allah ta'ala forgives even more people than that. In other words, it's a night of forgiveness. Then again, if you look at some other hadiths, then it is a night in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala hands over the list of those people who are going to die in the coming year to the angels, those that are going to be born. In other words, all the details of what is going to happen during the year, the list is handed over to the angels, that now you must do this, extract certain person's soul, put in the soul into a certain baby, and cause so and so who is rich to become poor, that person who is poor to become rich, that king who is on the throne, get him out from there and put him in the prison, and that person who is in the prison, get him out from there and put him onto the throne. All the details, it is in this night of Barat. In other words, we make our year, either we spoil our year or we make our year. It's a night in which we should ask Allah Ta'ala, we should beg Him, we should ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to make our taqdeer, to give us the best of this world and the akhirah, to save us and protect us from all fitnas and mischief and corruption which is so prevalent in the world today. This is a night in which we should beg to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for ourselves, our children, our parents, our family members, and the entire ummah of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There cannot be a better night to ask than this night here. We have spent so much of our nights, when there's a wedding in the family, when there is some other programs, then whole night we spend by the fireside and in braai and in idle chit chat and discussions. But when it comes to a few hours, how long is the night? And that too, we don't say that stay awake the whole night if you have to go to work tomorrow. Then a little part of that night also, where we are secluded and there's nobody between us and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In the masjid, in the congregation, it is different. But in the home, in the privacy of the room, somewhere where there's nobody, just ourselves and Allah ta'ala, where the tears are flowing from the eyes, and we are thinking of the ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala upon us, and we are thinking of the akhirat, and Jannat and Jahannam. And when we are thinking of what we have done in our lives and how are we going to face Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Now at such a time when the person will make dua, then there will be a different effect in that dua. So to spend some part of the night in begging, asking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Then if we have to look at those people that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not forgive even in this Mubarak night, then just as you have heard in the past, but just to give you a repeat, that the main categories that have been mentioned there are those people who are disobedient to their parents. We have made football of our parents today. Unfortunately, many parents themselves are young. They themselves don't have character, they don't have namaz, they don't have any kind of deen in their lives. Or they themselves are so glued to the evil television and the movies. They themselves have got Hollywood and Bollywood lifestyles, but they want the children must be obedient. But we will tell the children that irrespective of what the parents are doing, but it is still your duty to be obedient to them, except in those things which are against Sharia and Deen. If a father has to sell it, you also join me to buy and sell drugs, then we will say that no, we draw the line there. But anything that is not against deen, then those children cannot say that because my father is doing this or doing that, therefore I'm not going to be obedient to him. Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his mother said that I will die, I will starve to death if you don't give up your iman. So Hazrat Sa'd bin Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that even if you have 100 lives and you have to give those 100 lives, then too I'm not going to give up my iman. لا طاعة للمخلوق في معصية الخالق. When there's disobedience to Allah Ta'ala, then we don't obey. But on the other hand, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he emphasized so much that even if your parents are non-Muslims, they are not Muslims, then to show great respect, entertain them, welcome them, be gentle and kind to them. Read the hadiths, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how much he emphasized. Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, before her mother accepted Islam, same thing, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told her, be kind, she has come, be kind to her. So if so much of emphasis has been placed on kindness to parents who are not even Muslims, then how much of emphasis is placed on those who are Muslims? Parents are the means of our coming into this world, and rest assured, believe me, I've mentioned this many times, that it is something that is proven, because if it is the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then it is the truth and nothing but the truth. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that there is nothing for which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives reward as quickly as kindness to parents. In this world, the reward comes very, very quick. And there's nothing for which Allah ta'ala punishes as quickly as disobedience to parents in this world. Akhirat is akhirat. And whosoever, in whichever manner they behaved with their parents, that is exactly what they must expect of their children to do to them. I think I mentioned that incident many times, which happened in front of me, that on the 27th night of Ramadan, a son slapped his father in one of the villages where I had gone on holiday during my study days. So I expressed great surprise and I told my aunt, whose place I was living, that this is a shocking thing that the neighbor's son hit his father on 27th of Ramadan. So she said nothing to be surprised, because he hit his father also on the 27th of Ramadan. And she says, I know this much, that it is rumored that he also hit his father on the 27th of Ramadan. So sometimes Allah Ta'ala shows it like that too. So if the children have been disobedient, then at least make plenty of isale sawab for them. Keep sending sawab to them. Obedience to parents will increase the risk of the person, sustenance of the person. There you do not make hisab kitab with them. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala was making tawaf, and one person was carrying his old mother on his shoulders and made tawaf, and then he asked that, have I done justice, have I fulfilled her rights? He said, you haven't even fulfilled the right of that pain that she experienced at the time of labor, but you have done kindness to her, you will be rewarded for that. But where the difficulty comes, and I do not feel afraid of anyone to say these things, because with the place where we sit here, it is our duty to speak haq, whether anybody likes it or not. that the problem arises where the sons want the wife to do the khidmat of the mother and father. The sons, it is their duty that they must go out of their way to make the khidmat of their parents. And gently, with persuasion, with kindness, with tact and with hikmah, if the wife is also encouraged to make the khidmat of his parents, and she makes it, then alhamdulillah, she will be rewarded for it. It is ihsan. But the moment they get married, now they demand that you have to look after this old mother of mine. You have to care for this old father of mine. That son is in his own sporting clubs, and on this ground, and in this club and that club, and here they expect that wife 365 of the days of the year to keep making khidmat of that old person. Now that is not what Shariat says. She must make khidmat of her husband. Yes, if the mother treats the daughter-in-law as a daughter, and the daughter treats the mother, daughter-in-law treats the mother-in-law as a mother, then there's going to be no problem. Wallah, there's going to be no problem. The home life will be so beautiful, so wonderful. In fact, those daughter-in-laws will look forward to living with such in-laws. And those in-laws will look forward to living with such daughter-in-laws. Otherwise, this situation will be like that one woman said, Jab main saas thi, to bahu achhi nahi mili. Aur jab main bahu thi, to saas achhi nahi mili. So when I was a daughter-in-law, I didn't get a good mother-in-law. And when I became mother-in-law, I didn't get a good daughter-in-law. So the problem is that those young girls also who are getting married because of their education and because of their degrees and because of their qualifications, many a times it happens that they are not prepared to even do little things. And they complain about little things. In their own homes, they will do everything. But when they get married, if they have to pick up a spoon, they will say, the mother-in-law made zulm on me. So it works both ways. The mother-in-laws have to treat them as daughters, not as slaves or servants or someone who is a stranger. And they must treat them as mothers, just as they would respect their mothers and show kindness to their mothers and go out of the way to treat their mothers with kindness and affection. If they do that, then there's no problem. So what I was saying is these rights of parents, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is emphasized. He said this jannat is, your parents are your jannat or they are your jahannam. If you're obedient to them, then they are your jannat. And disobedient, then they are your jahannam. One wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he says they were on a journey and they camped one place near a qabristan. So they at asr time, they used to hear three times like the braying of an ass, a donkey or mule is braying. So he was wondering, what is this? So he was informed that his mother, that the person whose braying you are listening to from the grave, the mother lives around here. So they went to meet the mother, an elderly woman, and that mother said, yes, that is my son. He is to come late at night and he is to be drunk. On one occasion I told him that, what you are doing? You are drinking and coming late night. So he said, stop braying like an ass. Since that day when he died, this is the azab that he is getting. And Hazrat Al-Qamah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's time, his ruh wasn't coming out, his soul, sakarat was taking very, very long and very difficult. Just the gist of that, again, there's no time for all details. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam found out that his mother was very displeased with him. So he sent a message to that old mother that we are going to burn your son. So he said, no, no, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why burn my son? He said, well, as it is, he is burning. I'm just giving the meaning, as it is, he is burning. Because you are unhappy with him, so he is burning. And he's going to burn in the qabr also and in the akhirat also. So she said, I forgive him. She just said, I forgive him, and this side his soul parted nicely. There are so many incidents, there are so many hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on parents. The Quran Sharif also, so many places. Especially that one ayat, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. So there we are warned that if one of them or both of them reach old age, then do not say anything that will hurt their feelings. What they have gone through, we do not know. We do not know. It's only when we see our grandchildren, how they are being brought up, how the mothers sometimes don't sleep the whole night because the baby has got temperature. Sometimes the baby has got diarrhea and they are changing napkin upon napkin and washing in the cold winter night. At that time we think what our mothers must have gone through. Now how hurt they must be feeling when the child who has been brought up like that suddenly disrespects them and rejects them. So in this night, if somebody has done anything that has harmed the parents, they don't feel ashamed. Parents are not any kind of tigers or animals that they will reject the children. No matter what the children do, but the parent, if it's a true parent, then the parents will open their arms and say, welcome, whatever it is, I forgive you. So ask them for forgiveness if you want Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness in this Mubarak night. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, those people who have broken up ties with their family members. Another very important thing. Family members today, we treat them as complete strangers, outsiders. We will be very, very kind to our friends who are total strangers. But we'll be very kind to them. If they ask for loans, then we'll be the first ones to give them the loan. If they ask for our car, we'll say, yes, take this car and there's another one also if you want. If they ask for anything, we will say, because he's my friend, I travel with him up and down, I go to the football ground and cricket ground with him, and I go to cinemas and theaters with him, therefore I will give my heart for him. But his own brother, his own sister, his own family member will be suffering, and the person will show no concern. Why? Because he doesn't get wahwa and mubarakbad and thanks and kindness from those family members generally. Those family members are not going to be very, very congratulatory. In fact, some of them, no matter how much you give and no matter how much you do for them, at the end of the day, they will still curse you. And they will say, what have you done for me? That is why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that laysal wasil. That person is not the joiner of relationships who does a, what we call tit for tat business. That as you deal with me, I will deal with you. If you are kind to me, I'll be kind to you. If you swear me, I will swear you. Then that person is not joining relationship. That person whom they are doing harm to, but he goes out of his way to join relationship. He is kind to them. He is obliging. One sahabi said that, Ya Rasulullah sallam, the gist and meaning again of that hadith, there's no time to go into the details, that I do everything. I go out of my way to show kindness to these relatives and family members of mine. I treat them with respect. I give them gifts. I do everything. But on the other hand, their treatment of me is that they are rude, they are crude, they abuse me. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, if what you are saying is the truth, then you carry on doing what you are doing. You are throwing dust into their mouths. In other words, Allah Ta'ala will bring about humiliation upon them, but you will get respect. Allah will give you barakat in your rizq and in your sustenance. And that famous hadith which I quoted many, many times, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting in Arafat, and it was towards Maghrib. And that is the time that du'as are most accepted. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that if there is any person amongst us who has broken up family ties, then he should leave this gathering. 124,000 companions. Now just listen carefully what I'm telling you. That there was no question of any person not obeying Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. They would give their lives for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. No matter what humiliation may come upon them, but they will fulfill the hukam of Allah Ta'ala. Laakh aaye musibat to parwa nahi, laakh toote sitam uska shikwa nahi. Laakh aaye musibat to parwa nahi, laakh toote sitam uska shikwa nahi. Chahe badle zamana nahi uska gham. Chahe badle zamana nahi uska gham. Aap badle to apna thikana nahi. Aap badle to apna thikana nahi. Oh Allah, no matter what difficulties, what tests and what trials come, chahe kitni musibat aa jaye, uska koi gham hame nahi hai. But oh Allah, if you change, if you turn away your glance of forgiveness and maghfirat and rahmat from us, then we will find no place. Then there will be destruction. So the Sahaba-e-Kiram, they believed in that. That no matter what happens, but we will do what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us. the 124,000 companions, and only one gets up from there who was not in talking term with his aunt. Does it ring a bell? 124,000. That one gets up and goes away. After a little while, he comes back. Rasul Pak Sasam asks him, "Where did you go?" He said, "I was not in talking terms with my aunt. So when you said that whoever is not in talking terms must go, so I went away. So I went and asked my aunt for forgiveness. She forgave me. I forgave her. We made dua for each other and then I came back." He said, "You have done a wonderful thing, because Allah Ta'ala holds back His rahmat from that people, that group, that community, in which even there is one person who has broken up his ties with his family members." Now imagine how many of us have broken ties with family members. I'm not saying that you have to go to the houses every day, or you have to visit them every second day, or you have to keep phoning them every... What I'm saying is that your relationship, the doors must be open, that they must be happy to see you, you must be happy to see them. If you meet them, you must make salam. You must make dua for them. Yes, there are problems that have taken place, or there are problems that cannot be resolved immediately. That can be resolved as time goes along. If it's financial problem, property problem, inheritance problem, then resolve those problems. Have a large heart and come to some conclusion, some settlement. But to say that because of this problem now, I'm not going to talk to you lifelong. All our breaking up of relationship is because of dunya. If it is for deen purposes, it is permissible. For deen, it is permissible. If the person says, "I'm unhappy with you because you are practicing on deen and sharia and all that," we'll say, "Well, then you go your way, I go my way." If he just doesn't want to accept. But I'm talking about our problems and arguments are for nothing but dunya. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he said this, only one person got up from 124,000 and went. If 124,000 of us had to be there, then I think 123,000 would have had to get up and go. So in this night again, there are so many hadiths that if you want barakat in your rizq, you want long life, meaning barakat in your life, you want your name to carry on and continue, that means your progeny to follow, and all the other things that you are looking forward to, then it is stated there, then be kind to your relatives and family members. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has cursed those who break off their family ties. And the person who is under the curse of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, can he succeed? So in this night again, that is another important lesson that we learn, that whatever happens, ask for forgiveness, even if it means a few phone calls, a little bit of expenditure. But if we are not in talking terms, at least that much, that forgive me, the problem whatever it is, will resolve it. But forgive me and make dua for me, finish. That much doesn't cost a person's life. But you will be able to get the acceptance of your duas after that. Again, on this subject we can go on the whole night, but let us take one more. And that is that those people who are indulging in adultery or fornication, those who are committing zina, unless they make sincere tawbah tonight, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not going to forgive them. This is another scourge of our society. Adultery and fornication has become so common and so rife. Whether it's the television, the movies, the cinemas, the theaters, whatever it is, and the internet, everything has increased it and multiplied it so much that there are so many people that they cannot be even satisfied that the child that their wife has born is their child. How many cases? Friends, uncles and nieces. What do we say, brothers and sisters, fathers and daughters, what cases we dealt with in the past 2 years. It makes you cry tears of blood. So let us make tawbah from these things. It's not going to get us anywhere. It's going to create such restlessness and such problems in our lives that we won't know what is hitting us. There'll be restlessness, anxiety, worries, and all kinds of problems, and we won't know why and where it is coming from. Control the gaze. When an enemy attacks, it attacks through the borders. You have to go through the borders. They had to ask for flying rights, or they will go through the borders. So the eyes are the borders. And the first thing that they attacked was Kandahar, the capital. Enemy always looks for the capital first. So the capital is the heart. Control the heart and control the gaze, and you will live a peaceful life. There will be happiness and sukoon in the heart. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has promised sweetness of iman when the person controls his gaze. Accidental first gaze is maaf, but after that, repeatedly to look at those whom Allah ta'ala has made haram to look at, then it will bring darkness into the heart. It will bring restlessness. It will bring all kinds of problems after that in that person's life. The airport has been damaged. So where is that sukoon aeroplane going to land anymore? The airport has been damaged, completely destroyed by looking at all the evil things. So now that sukoon and sakina, my sheikh says, where it is going to land? That tranquility, where is it going to land? Because there's no airport left there. So let us look after the capital and control the borders. Hazrat Sulaiman bin Yasar, with one of his companions, they were going for Hajj. After some days, they came near Medina Sharif, but outside, still a few miles away. And there, by the mountainside, it was time for meals. So they placed the dastarkhan, and he sent one of his friends that you go and look for the food and we'll prepare the meals. In the meantime, one woman came down from some mountainside and she tried to seduce him. So he immediately put his head on his laps and began to cry. Loudly he started crying. So she went away. When his friend came back, he said that, why are you crying? He said, no, I thought of my children. He said, so many days you didn't think of your children and suddenly you thought of your children. What's the truth? So he said that the temptation was so great, but the fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this is what I did, that I began to cry. And this woman went away. Well, in any case, the friend said that Allah ta'ala saved you. If I had been in your place, I don't think I would have been able to restrain myself. And then they proceeded. When they arrived at Makkah Sharif, they made tawaf, the umrah, and then he fell off to sleep. In the dream, he sees Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And he tells Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he asks him, who are you? He said, I'm Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, that same Yusuf of Misr? He said, yes. Who's mentioned in the Quran Sharif? Yes. He says, your incident was a very strange one, that Zulaikha tried to seduce you, but you still ran, and those doors opened up, and all the rest of it. He said, your incident is even more, because he was a Nabi, he was Masoom, and here it's an ordinary human. One person was under the process of reformation and change. He was probably in those habits before, whatever it may have been or not, but now in the process of change, the temptation was still very great to go back to the woman to commit zina. So now what did he do? Look at what they did for protecting themselves. So he lit a lamp or a candle or fire, and then he took his finger and then he placed it over that candle. Now when it started burning, so the pain was increasing, so he's screaming too. He's got his finger there, he's screaming too. And he's telling his nafs, he says, you can't bear this little fire here, and you are preparing yourself for the fire of Jahannam. This is what they did. There are so many incidents in the hadiths and in so many kitabs about what was the azab on the people that committed zina. So zina takes away the barakat of the person's business. Most of the businesses haven't got barakat today because there's plenty of zina that is being committed. It takes away the barakat. Outwardly it might seem plenty of customers came and a lot of purchases and buyings. After that you ask that person that does it make your ends meet? He will say, no, there's always a shortfall, or there's no happiness, or whatever I'm earning is not enough. People are earning 70,000 a month, they say it's not enough. They say it's not enough. If they earn 170,000, they say it's not enough. And there are people who are earning millions and billions, but they say it's not enough. There are people with oil wells and all that earning so much, but they say it's not enough. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala takes away the barakat from that. Puts restlessness into those hearts. Barakat goes away. The noor of the face goes away. Darkness comes into the heart. And so many other kinds of azab comes on that person who is committing zina. So what will we get? Ask that person, how many times I have said, ask that person after 50 years of zina, that what do you have now to show as the product of this zina? What do you have to show? Good health, or something that we can be proud about, that I committed zina for 50 years and now I can be proud that this is my products or assets that I've got, or accumulation of good. Nothing. Restlessness, worries, sickness, illness, AIDS, and all kinds of problems. And the person who has been in ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, obedient to Allah, and I am repeatedly telling you this, that don't ever believe a person who tells you that your life will become boring. Those who are finding it boring, they haven't found Allah as yet. Otherwise, if you find Allah Ta'ala in your life will never become boring, you'll enjoy it. You'll eat still the same good food, you will have good clothes, you can travel in good car, stay in a good home, use the furniture and use the gold and silver, earn it in a halal way, spend it correctly, give the poor, the needy, spend on yourself, on your family. There will be cheer, there will be joy, there will be laughter, there will be happiness, there will be halal kind of entertainment, and then there will be khidmat and service of mankind, of the neighbors, of the poor. And there will be such enjoyment and happiness. How many times I have said that my Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Aqeemuddin Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, he said that his Shaykh, whilst he was eating with him, there was dal, just ordinary little dal. And he said, Mujhe is dal ke andar biryani ka mazara. Whenever I think of this incident, it really makes me think. It was just dal, simple, plain dal. He said, for days on end, sometimes he used to eat just that little dal. But he said, Mujhe iske andar biryani ka mazara. Why? He said, because my Allah is feeding me. He said, how can Allah be feeding you? He said, who is it that making that hand rise like that and come up to my mouth? If Allah Ta'ala paralyzes it, who can make it work? So I am imagining all the time that my Allah is raising my hand and putting it into my mouth. Now if somebody can imagine and picture that his beloved, we only know about illicit beloveds, but even if he pictures his illicit beloved taking all the time food and putting it into his mouth, what enjoyment and happiness they get, those lovers. Now here the person is imagining is that my Allah, who is that beloved, over whom there will be no kind of fana that will come, no destruction. He will not perish. He is there for all times, and he was and he will remain for all times. And he is the one whom you can call any part of the day or night. Now what enjoyment he's getting when he's picturing that all the time. So therefore, what I'm saying is that in these sins, there is no real happiness. It is just that the person is in that state of chloroform. So he does not know. Or that overall is very, very dark with which he is working. And the grease and the ink and all the other dirt that is falling on that overall, it's not showing out because it is very dark. But make it white. Wear a white one. Then that one drop of ink, as I always say, will also show out from a distance. So purify these hearts, make them white. Just wearing white kurta and white socks and white topis, as I am wearing now, does not mean my heart is also white. Tera aynai roshni moh kala. Tera aynai roshni moh kala. Andar se andhera hai bahar ujala. At present our hearts have got darkness of sins in them. Yes, Rasul-e-Pak dearly loved wearing white clothes, so therefore we wear it. The outside also is essential. If you clip the wings of the pigeon, it's not going to fly. So the outside is also essential. Keep the beard fist length. What does it cost? Cost anything? Will it cause any harm? Well, Allah will become pleased. Rasul-e-Pak will become pleased. How long are we going to follow those same Hollywood actors and then curse the same Hollywood people? Follow Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then see what noor comes into that life. At least on the day of Qiyamah, we can say what you have heard many times.
Tere mehboob ki ya rab shabahat leke aaya hoon. Tere mehboob ki ya rab shabahat leke aaya hoon. حقیقت اس کو تو کر دے میں صورت لے کے آیا ہوں.
Oh Allah, I have just come with the surat, the outside, but that which is of my Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now you give me the haqiqat. I have brought the surat. Put some soul in there. Brothers, there's so much to be said, but this night is for ibadat, for zikr, for tilawat, and asking for forgiveness. Our names, we do not know whether it is already written. tonight it will be written and given. One of the years, just about Maghrib time, I received a call that so and so passed away, about a minute before sunset, from one of the towns that so and so passed away. Now, which means that it was written the year before that, that 1 minute before the next Shab-e Barat must take the soul of this person. And especially today, we know that how dangerous it has become. I have got no hope that I will continue to live for many, many years. How can we hope? We know what is happening all around. Those 5,000 odd people that went to work in the trade center, did they know that within the next second, they are all going to go? When the earthquake takes place, do the people know that within the few seconds, thousands of people are just going to expire? Other accidents that take place, murders, killings, nobody knows what is going to happen the next second. So therefore we should make our taqdeer, beg Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, ask Him for the best. Everything is in His control, no matter how much we may think it is in our hands. We are fools if we think it's in our hands. What is in our hands? Allah ta'ala, just for our sake, He says, you are the owners for a little while. But nothing is really in our control. So many people who were multi-rich and they became refugees. And so many people who were poor, they were orphans and they became very, very rich. So many people who were kings, they became beggars. And so many who were beggars became kings. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the one in whose hands all things lie. So let us now make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for ourselves, for our parents, our wives and children, brothers and sisters, and the entire ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Brother, just for your information, this putting off the lights, also some people don't understand why we do that. It is not faraz, it is not wajib, it is not sunnah, it is not something that is necessary. It is only done so that you find some sort of seclusion. Although you are amongst so many people, but you still find some kind of seclusion. That if you want to cry, then there is nobody that is distracting you. That is the only purpose. It is like an ilaj. Now if somebody has to ask, that give me a hadith, if the doctor says you must take this medication 3 times a day, 2 teaspoons, then you ask the doctor in which hadith it is stated, 2 teaspoons 3 times a day. So we're not doing it as a form of ibadat. It is just an ilaj, a cure. So keep everything in its proper place, then there's no problem. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين يا راحم المساكين يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث برحمتك نستغيث برحمتك نستغيث. اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما, ہماری خطاؤں کو معاف فرما. Oh my beloved Allah, Oh my Rahim Allah, You yourself proclaim, is there anyone seeking forgiveness that I may forgive him? Oh my beloved Allah, we are seeking forgiveness. Oh Allah, forgive us, forgive our parents, our wives and children, our brothers and sisters, and the entire ummah of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Oh my beloved Allah, Oh my Rahib Allah, Oh my Kareeb Allah, Oh my most forgiving Allah, Oh my most kind Allah, Oh my most compassionate, loving, caring Allah. We are turning towards You. You dearly love forgiveness of the sins of sinners when they turn towards You. Oh my Allah, we are turning towards You. Ya Allah, we are begging of You. We are extending these begging bowls before You. Oh my Allah, we are extending these begging bowls before You. And You dearly love those who beg of You. Human beings become angry if we have to beg of them. But oh Allah, You become angry if we don't beg of You. Therefore, my Allah, we are extending these begging bowls before You. Ya Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Ya Allah, forgive all the sins that we have committed from the time we became of age up till now. Oh my beloved Allah, we are extremely sinful. We are drowning in the ocean of sins. Oh Allah, we are drowning in the ocean of sins. There is no one to throw the rope for us to come out, O Allah, except You. Ya Allah, our sins are like the mountains, like the huge mountains, O my beloved Allah. But O Allah, if man can make a dynamite stick which can blow up huge mountains, then what is it difficult for you to blow up the mountains of our sins? Ay mere Allah, tu hame maaf farma de. Oh Allah, forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Ya Allah, forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Oh my beloved Allah, such a large gathering, oh Allah, of young people, elderly people, the sick, the feeble, the old, the white bearded. Ay mere Allah. And also our sisters who have gathered at the madrasa. Ey mere pyare khuda, have mercy upon us. Ya Allah, open the floodgates of your rahmat. Ya Allah, we haven't gathered here for any other purpose but to seek forgiveness of our sins. We know that with the forgiveness of our sins will come peace in our lives, will come tranquility in our lives, will come happiness in our lives. Oh my Allah, therefore we are turning towards you. Ya Allah, forgive the sins of our eyes. Such a great gift, oh Allah, that you blessed us with. We have used it for all haram purposes. So much of haram we have seen through these eyes of ours. If there had been another Allah, he would have seized us there and then. So much of evil we have heard with our ears. So much of evil we have spoken with our tongues. Oh Allah, so much of evil we have done with our hands and feet, our heart and mind. Allah, forgive each and every sin of ours. Forgive the sins of our ears. Forgive the sins of our tongues. Forgive the sins of our hands and feet. Forgive the sins of our heart and mind. Oh Allah, you are the forgiver of all sins, and in this Mubarak night we are turning towards you. Ey Allah, if you are not going to forgive us in this Mubarak night, then which other night is there that we can still wait for, my beloved Allah? We do not know whether we will see another day or another night. Oh Allah, therefore we are asking for forgiveness. Ya Allah, we are asking you to remove our difficulties and our problems and our hardships and our trials. Ya Allah, we are not like the Sahaba-e-Kiram, Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'een. Oh Allah, even in severe tests and trials, they stayed steadfast. Allah, we are so weak that we will sell our iman for miserable coins if we have to be tested. Oh my beloved Allah, do not test us in this world. Do not test us in the qabr. Do not test us in the akhirat. Ya Allah, do not test us in the akhirat. Cause us to cross the pulsirat like lightning and enter into Jannat without any reckoning. Oh my beloved Allah, we have been disobedient to you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have used all the ni'mats of yours. Allah, no father will be happy with the son. In fact, he will kick those children out of their home if the children have to use everything of the father and still be disobedient to him day and night. Allah, but you provide us with food, with drink, with air, with transport, with home, with clothes, with everything, oh my beloved Allah. So much of your bounties upon us. You have given us sight, hearing, speech, our heart, liver and lungs all functioning. Oh my beloved Allah, how much of your ni'mats are upon us. How much of your bounties you shower upon us. We use all those bounties for your disobedience. Ya Allah, the person who is trapped up with all the tubes in a hospital bed, he cannot even think of zina. Oh Allah, when you give us strength in our bodies, then we use that strength to commit adultery and fornication. We use that strength in our eyes to look at haram. We use the strength of our hearing to listen to haram. Oh Allah, we use the strength in our hands and feet to walk towards haram and touch haram. Oh my beloved Allah, how merciful and how forgiving you are and how tolerant you are. Therefore, my beloved Allah, we are pledging that we are not going to return to those sins. Oh Allah, give us the heart that you give to your awliya-i-kiram. Give us the heart that you give to your friends, oh my beloved Allah. Give us a heart in which the ocean of nur flows, oh my beloved Allah. Give us a heart which is attached to you and bonded to you in such a manner that nafs and shaitan cannot distance it from you. Oh my beloved Allah, take us out from the slavery of shaitan. Take us out from the slavery of nafs and shaitan. They haven't brought us any happiness in our lives. They have brought nothing but, oh my beloved Allah, anxieties, worries and restlessness in our lives. Oh my beloved Allah, tie us with the chains of your muhabbat. The only chain that must tie us must be the chains of your love and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, take us out from the slavery of everything else. Ya Allah, make us your slaves, because there is no peace and happiness in being the slaves of anything else in this world. Ey mere pyare khuda, agar tu ne nigah rahmat pher li, Allah, if you have to turn away your glance of rahmat from us, then you tell us, who do we turn towards? There is no one for us besides you. Which other home is there for us in which we can go and beg? Which other home is there, O Allah, in which we can go and beg?
which other door is there for us that we can tap? Oh my Allah, if you turn away your glance of rahmat from us, then we will suffer nothing but destruction in this world, destruction in the grave, and destruction in the akhirat. Where Allah humse naraz mat ho ja. Oh Allah, do not become annoyed and displeased with us. Oh my beloved Allah, become pleased with us. Ya Allah, make us your obedient servants, oh my beloved Allah. Ya Allah, hum gunegar hai, hum siyakar hai, hum gande hai, hum napak hai. Ey mere Allah, hum pur khata hai, lekin tujhe chhod kar jaye kaha, tujhe chhod kar jaye kaha. Oh my Allah, who can we go to? There is no one for us besides you. Ya Allah, this Mubarak night we are extending our hands before you. Ya Allah, the life which is gone is gone, and how much is left we are unaware of. We do not know whether we will live 1 second or 1 hour or 1 year or plenty years. Oh my beloved Allah, if our name is written in the name of those who are going to die in the coming year, let our death be on Iman. Ya Allah, let our death be on Iman. Let our death be a death of Barakat. Oh my Allah, and if you are blessing us with long life, then oh my Allah, let our life be full of Barakat and happiness. Ya Allah, but we are seeking from you long life, so that we may be able to accumulate the maximum amount of good deeds before we leave. Ya Allah, bless us with long life, with good health, spiritual health and physical health. We are spiritually sick and we are physically sick. Oh my Allah, how we are physically sick and spiritually sick. Cure us from all our ailments and diseases. Those who are in hospitals, cure them. Oh Allah, those who are in their homes and sick and ill, cure them. Ay mere pyare khuda, purify and clean our hearts of all the ailments and diseases. Allah, our hearts are filled with malice. Our hearts are filled with greed. You do not forgive those who hold malice in their hearts in this Mubarak night. O Allah, clean and purify our hearts of malice. Purify our hearts of jealousy and envy. Purify our hearts of pride and arrogance. Purify our hearts of evil passions and desires. Oh my Allah, reading all the filthy magazines, watching all the filthy films, and watching all the filth around us, it has created such amount of evil passions and desires that, oh Allah, we are drowning in the ocean of evil passions and desires. Ay mere pyare khuda, what has it brought into our hearts? Nothing but restlessness. Allah, purify and clean our hearts. Ya Allah, clean our hearts. Oh my beloved Allah, we are seeking from you. You are all hearing, all knowing, all seeing. Your treasures are unlimited, oh my beloved Allah. There is no limit to your treasures. We are seeking everything from your unlimited treasures, oh my beloved Allah. Oh my beloved Allah, do not punish us because of our sins. Ya Allah, throughout the world, the Muslim Ummah is suffering, especially in Kashmir, in Chechnya, Bosnia, Afghanistan. Oh my beloved Allah, in Palestine and so many parts of the world, the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has become yateem. Ay Allah, anyone can bombard them. Anyone can destroy their beautiful little flowers who are about to bloom, oh my beloved Allah. Ay mere pyare khuda, they are made to suffer starvation and poverty. Such kind of fear is being put into the hearts of the feeble and the old and the weak. Especially in Afghanistan, oh my beloved Allah, the enemies of Islam have formed coalition and alliances. And oh my beloved Allah, even the hypocrites have joined this alliance. Ay mere pyare khuda, the Muslim countries also have sided with the enemies. Ay Allah, they are surrounded from all sides. They have no navy, no air force. But oh my beloved Allah, they have one thing in them, and that is their iman and their yaqeen and their tawakkul in you. Oh Allah, your forces are unlimited. Ay Allah, send your unlimited forces against the enemies. Ya Allah, send your unlimited forces against your enemies. The wind is your force, oh my Allah. The rain is your force, oh my Allah. The ground on which their military stands is your force, oh my Allah. Ay Allah, unke military ko tu hila de. Ay Allah, unki quwwat ko khatam kar de. Oh Allah, shake up their military might and power. Oh Allah, rain stones upon them. Oh Allah, cause storms in the ocean to sink their navy. Oh my beloved Allah, you can send forces against them which are unseen. You send the Ababil with tiny little pebbles to destroy the Abraha's forces. Oh Allah, you send them with the little pebbles to destroy those elephants and the army. Allah, what is it difficult for you to destroy the army of the enemies? Ya Allah, either bless them with hidayat, but if hidayat is not in their muqaddar, then oh Allah, shake them like you shook the Aad and Samud. Destroy them like you destroyed the Aad and Samud. Allah, unke jihazo ko aapas mein takra de. Allah, unke missiles ko unhi ke upar gira de. Allah, create division and disunity amongst them. Allah, unko aapas mein lada de. Allah, unke andar jagde paida kar de. اے اللہ ان کے کوالیشن کو برباد کر دے، اے اللہ ان کے کوالیشن کو ختم فرما دے، اے اللہ ان کو ایسا سخت اور عبرتناک عذاب دے کہ قیامت تک وہ جاگنے کا نام نہ لے. او اللہ برنگ ہیومیلیشن اینڈ ڈسگریس اپون دیم، اے اللہ برنگ سچ سفرنگ اپون دا اینیمیز. او مائی بلوڈ اللہ، ایز یو براٹ اپون دا نیشنز آف دا پاسٹ ہو ریجیکٹڈ دا پروفٹس آف یورز، ہائے میرے اللہ، جسٹ ایز یو سینڈ دا اینجلز ان دا بیٹل آف بدر، جسٹ ایز یو سینڈ دم ان دا بیٹل آف احد اینڈ خندق، اے اللہ سینڈ دا اینجلز ٹو ہیلپ اینڈ اسسٹ دا مجاہدین. اے اللہ مسجد اقصا کی حفاظت فرما، حرمین شریفین کی حفاظت فرما، اے اللہ ہماری بھی حفاظت فرما. اے اللہ پروٹیکٹ اور ایمان، protect our Islam, protect our deen, O my beloved Allah. Deen is living our lives, deen is living the lives of our children, deen is living our bazaars and marketplaces, deen is living our schools and colleges. Hai mere Allah, tu hamari hifazat farma. Allah, the cinemas have come into our own homes now. O Allah, we have brought all the filth into our homes. On the same screens, O my beloved Allah, we watch the ringing of the bells in the churches. O my Allah, we watch the ringing of the bells in the churches. We watch the folding of the hands before the idols. O Allah, we watch all the other things, zinas, that it takes place on the screen in our bedrooms, in our lounges, in our bed, in our homes. O my beloved Allah, how much of haram pictures we bring into our homes. How can there be barakat in such homes? Oh Allah, the divisions and the disunities in our families, the major cause of that is our disobedience to you. Give us the himmat like lions, oh my beloved Allah. What happiness will these things bring into our lives? Oh Allah, they bring nothing but clouds of darkness over our hearts. Ya Allah, how can there be barakat in a home where the carpets are on interest? Oh my Allah, the clothes are on interest. Oh Allah, the furniture is on interest. Oh my Allah, our cars on interest. Oh my beloved Allah, everything on interest. Aise ghar ke andar barkat kahan se aa sakti hai? Ya Allah, give us the himmat to pay up those bonds, to sell anything that surplus we have, to get rid of our bonds and all the interest payments. Ya Allah, give us life of peace, oh my Allah. Give us a life of sukoon, oh my Allah. Give us a life of tranquility, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, hasidin ke hasad se hifazat farma. Ya Allah, protect us from the jealousy of those who become jealous. Ya Allah, protect us from the fitnas of those who make fitna. Ya Allah, تو زمین کی آفتوں سے حفاظت فرما، آسمان کی بلاؤں سے حفاظت فرما، اے اللہ جادو اور سحر سے حفاظت فرما. اے میرے پیارے خدا، تو جادو اور سحر سے بھی ہماری حفاظت فرما. یا اللہ پروٹیکٹ اس فرام دا مسچیف آف دا مسچیف میکرز. اے میرے اللہ، دوز ہو آر انویس اینڈ جیلس آف اس، او اللہ پروٹیکٹ اس فرام دیر انوی اینڈ جیلسی. اے اللہ ان کو ہدایت نصیب فرما. اے اللہ ہمارے دلوں کے اندر سے بھی تو اے اللہ ہر قسم کی غیبت اور ہر قسم کا کبر ختم فرما. او مائی بلوڈ اللہ، وی سیک فرام یو دا بیسٹ آف دس ورلڈ اینڈ دا بیسٹ آف آخرت. دوز ہو آر سیک اینڈ ایلنگ گیو دم کیور. دوز ہو آر ان فائنینشیل ڈیفیکلٹیز، او اللہ بلیس دم وتھ سو مچ آف حلال سسٹیننس دیٹ دے گیٹ آؤٹ آف آل دی فائنینشیل ڈیفیکلٹیز. او اللہ، دوز ہوز چلڈرن ہیو گون آن ٹو ڈرگز اینڈ ڈرنک اینڈ وائسز، یا اللہ برنگ دم بیک آن ٹو صراط مستقیم. میک دم اوبیڈینٹ ٹو دیئر پیرنٹس، میک دم اوبیڈینٹ ٹو یو. یا اللہ، یونائٹ دا ہارٹس آف پیرنٹس اینڈ چلڈرن، یونائٹ دا ہارٹس آف ہسبینڈز اینڈ وائفز، یونائٹ دا ہارٹس آف بردرز اینڈ سسٹرز، یونائٹ دا ہارٹس آف فیملی ممبرز، یونائٹ دا ہارٹس آف دا انٹائر امت آف رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. اے اللہ، ہم سب کو ایک بنا دے اور نیک بنا دے. او مائی بلوڈ اللہ، یور بلوڈ رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم، ایون ان دس مبارک نائٹس، او مائی اللہ، ہی ٹیئرڈ اینڈ ہی ٹیئرڈ اینڈ ہی ٹیئرڈ فار اس. او اللہ، ہاؤ مچ آف ہز سویٹ، ہاؤ مچ آف ہز بلڈ اینڈ ہاؤ مچ آف ہز ٹیئرز ہیو فلوڈ فار دا امت. او اللہ، وی ہیو شون نو اپریسیشن فار دا بلڈ آف مائی رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. وی ہیو شون نو اپریسیشن فار ہز اسٹینڈنگ ہول نائٹ ان پریئرز فار دا سیک آف دا امت. اے میرے اللہ، دیٹ نبی ہو واز معصوم اینڈ سنلیس اینڈ ہو سیکریفائسڈ ایوری تھنگ فار اس، یا اللہ، ایون ان ہز مبارک سٹی جسٹ اے فیو میٹرز اوے فرام دا حرم، a few meters away from his Mubarak Roza. Oh Allah, every filth can be watched on the television screen. All the music can be heard. Ha, mere Allah, how much of injury and pain we are causing to him. When he is informed that that ummat for whom you cried so much, that ummat for whom you shed so much of tears and blood, that ummat today in the casinos, in the discos, in the cinemas, in the theaters, glued to filthy movies, watching filthy magazines. Ha, mere Allah, اب تو ہمیں احساس عطا فرما. Give us some realization, oh my Allah. How long are we going to walk on this earth of yours as hypocrites? Oh Allah, change the condition of our hearts. Ya Allah, you can change the direction of our lives. Ya Allah, give us a life of sukoon, peace and tranquility and happiness. Ay mere pyare khuda, ek din marna hai, aakhir maut hai. We have to die one day. We have shouldered so many janazas. We participate in so many janaza salats. But oh Allah, even the thought doesn't cross our minds that the next janaza could be ours. Ah, very Allah, even the thought doesn't cross our minds that the very next janaza could be ours. Very Allah, don't let the angel of death find us in a disco. Oh Allah, so many people have died in discos. Oh my Allah, so many people have died in cinemas. So many have died in theaters. Oh Allah, so many have died committing adultery and fornication. Ya Allah, the Sahaba-i-Kiram and the Awliya-i-Kiram and the good believers, oh Allah, their desire was to die in the battlefield in jihad. Their desire was shahadat in your path. Oh Allah, or to die in Madina Tayyibah, Makkah Mukarrama, or to die on a Friday or a Jummah. Oh Allah, or to die in a state in which you are pleased with them. To die in your service, to die in sajda or in dua. Ay mere Allah, that was the desire of the people with iman. Ay Allah, aaj wahi musalman koi cinema mein mar raha hai, koi disco mein mar raha hai, koi theater mein mar raha hai, koi prostitute quarters mein mar raha hai. Ay Allah, badi badi daadi rakh kar ke bhi, ay mere Allah, prostitute quarters ke andar maut aa rahi hai. May Allah protect us from such kind of deaths, O Allah. Give us the realization that the angel of death is just behind our back. We do not know where he is going to strike, when and how. How can we then be in sins, O my Allah? Tonight give us the tawfiq of sincere tawbah, my Allah. Sincere tawbah. Accidental sins, O Allah, give us the tawfiq of making sincere tawbah again. But don't let us be persistent, O my Allah. Ya Allah, we are persistent in sins. We search for sins, O my Allah. Mere Allah, ab to hamare hal par raham farma. Ab to karam farma. Allah, ummat is suffering such kinds of hardships and difficulties. And we cannot even give up our haram, O my beloved Allah. Allah, to hamare hal par raham farma. Our students who are writing examinations, Ya Allah, bless them with success in their examinations. Make them an asset for the Muslim community, O my Allah. Ya Allah, un sabko nek aur saleh bana de. Aur school, college ke fitnon se unki hifazat farma de. Oh my beloved Allah, all the works of deen which are taking place, accept the works of deen. Allah, tabligh ki mehnat qubool farma. Masajid ki mehnat qubool farma. Mashayikh aur khanqahon ki mehnat qubool farma. Ay Allah, tasneef aur talif ki mehnat qubool farma. Ay Allah, bless each and every worker of deen with ikhlas. Ay Allah, ikhlas ki daulat se mala mal farma. Ya Allah, when the time of our death comes, let our death be in Madina Tayyibah. Bless us with shahadat in Madina Tayyibah. Ay Allah, the rosa of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With as-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah on our lips. Haveri Allah, aisi halat pe maut dena. Send the angel to us in such a state, O Allah, that you show us some tajalli of yours, and our soul and ruh comes dancing towards you. O Allah, it must not stay attached to the worldly and material things. Allah, my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, all his life he made duas for us, especially in Hajjatul Wida. Day and night he made dua. Mere pyare Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam ne Hajre Aswad ko chum karke jo manga tha. Allah, after kissing the Hajre Aswad, the duas that he made, Allah, rukne yamani ko chu karke jo manga tha, mizab rahmat ke niche ro ro ke jo manga tha, hatim ke andar nawaze padh kar jo manga tha, khilaf kaaba se nipat kar jo manga tha, ae mere pyare khuda, rasool e pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the multazam, how long he attached himself, how much of his tears flowed for the ummat. His beard and his ihram got wet with his tears. Allah, my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how much he is begging for the ummat. Behind the maqam of Ibrahim, what he asked. And after drinking zamzam, what duas he made. And on Safa and Marwa, the duas that he made. And in Mina, and especially in Arafat, from Zohar till Maghrib, the duas that he made. What he asked, oh my beloved Allah, and in Muzdalifah. all the du'as of khair that he asked for us. Bless us with that goodness. Bless our parents with that goodness, our wives and children with that goodness, the entire ummah with that goodness, and from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, especially the fitnas of Dajjal. Protect the entire ummah of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Hamari du'aon ko Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam ke sadqe mein qubool farma. Ya Allah, hum jaise bhi hai qubool farma. Ya Allah, make the year that is coming a pleasant one for us. Change the conditions of adversity to prosperity and happiness. Change the conditions, oh my beloved Allah. Hum sabko sukoon aur itminan wali zindagi naseeb farma. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله